Bibles, and we're going to look at a couple places this evening. And I'm going to backtrack a little bit this evening. I'm going to preach a Thanksgiving message, and I'm the pastor. I can choose to preach Thanksgiving if I want to. I had this set for I believe it was last Sunday that we got. No, it was the Sunday before that we got snowed out. It was a Sunday right after Thanksgiving. I know usually you preach a Thanksgiving message right before, but I really wanted to wrap up the series we were on, and so I was going to preach it right after Thanksgiving. I thought, you know, that'd be fine, but then we got canceled out with that, and so I'm just going to go ahead and preach my Thanksgiving message. And so we're going to do that, and truly this time of the year, we are reminded of a lot of things we are to be thankful for. Psalm chapter 100, we're going to go over this psalm. We went over this during our Thanksgiving banquet, our get-together there, and our praise and pie evening. But I want to look at this again, and it's really not the main text of our message, but I like it, so we're going to read it. Psalm 100, only five verses there. The Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation." I really believe that's, in my opinion, that is the prime Thanksgiving portion of Scripture right there. I like Psalm chapter 100, and it just reminds us that we have so much to be thankful for. But I'm going to look on the flip side of that. What happens when we're not thankful? And I'm going to speak to you this evening about the awful sin of ingratitude. The awful sin of ingratitude. If you will, look with me now over to the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says there in verse number 1, I'll give you a moment to find it. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." But listen to verse number 5 here. And by the way, that's a good place to say amen. But listen to verse number 5. "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." And we're going to look at the reason why they were overthrown. And verse number 10 really covers it in detail. The Bible says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time you've given us. Thank you for just your goodness to us. And we are so thankful for all that you do, Lord. And Father, God, help us. Maybe the reason why you delay this message is to remind us that we are allowed to be thankful after Thanksgiving. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to keep that thankful spirit, Father. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so here we are. We have. Just a group of people that God personally points out with the idea that they have been ungrateful. Now, again, I'm preaching this message a few weeks after Thanksgiving, but I will say this. We also decorated our house a few weeks before Thanksgiving. Okay, I know that's a crime, so I'm just mark me down. I'm the biggest criminal you've ever met. Amen? But we're going to look at this, and we live in a generation of whiners. We really do. We've seen, and by the way, I thought my generation was a bunch of whiners. And by the way, my generation is a bunch of whiners. this generation we're going into now. I just barely was born maybe 5 years before you enter into, 5 or 6 years before you enter into what would be known as the millennials. And I thank God I missed that one. Amen. I thank God for that. But I look at my generation. And my generation, there are people my age living at home and playing video games all day. And it's no wonder why we have a generation of whiners after them. But I'm worried about the generation coming up. We whine over everything. If we don't get what we want, if there's a vote and we don't get our vote, then we march on the streets and we throw our temper tantrums in Washington. And you know, if things just don't go our way, and I think that's because they were raised by parents who, whenever they wanted something, the parents made sure they got it. And so they're not used to not getting things they want. They're used to it. We live in a generation, I don't understand this at all, where your kids will grow up in sports and both teams get trophies. No, there's a winner and there's a loser, amen? And to say, oh, you guys get a trophy, but you guys get participation trophies. No! We raise a generation that expects something for nothing. We have a generation of a bunch of whiners that whine when they do not get their way. We've seen that evidence in the riots that take place in our nation. And if you want to complain about our electoral process or things such as that, just go to a third world country and see how they do it. Amen? I'm convinced that in this day, an age of unprecedented prosperity and freedom, there is unprecedented ingratitude. There really is. Did you know that the poorest 1% of the nation is wealthier than the top 1% of most countries? The poorest 1% of our nation is wealthier than the top 1% of most countries. Internationally, did you know that if you make over $37,000 a year, that you're in the top 4% of the world? Of the world. Top 4%. If you make over $45,000 a year, then you're in the top 1% of the entire world. Most people we meet, a lot of people we meet on a day-to-day basis fall into that category. You're in a great nation. We still live in the most prosperous nation on the planet. And there are many areas that if we are not careful, we can become ungrateful in. I want to notice that we can be ungrateful because of predicament. Ungrateful because of predicament. You know, these men and women that we read about here, and really to find their story in the fullest, you're going to have to go back to Numbers chapter 10. So why don't we go there, Numbers chapter 10. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 10 and verse number 29. And we're going to find that they were on an amazing journey. Verse number 29, the Bible says there, "And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel." So they were on an amazing journey. They just came out of Egypt. They just crossed the Red Sea. They had seen God do amazing things with their very eyes. And they just sang the songs of Moses. And they praised God. And now we find them ungrateful. They're ungrateful for what God's done to them, for them. What happened? And again, we still live in the most prosperous country on the planet. Just picture 100 years ago. In this day and age we live in now, picture 100 years ago. Let me ask you this. Did anybody have to go outside and pump water this morning? Anybody ever had? The only time I've ever had to do that was camping. When we were kids, we'd go camping. We went to kind of a rugged place. Most campsites nowadays, you just turn the faucet on. But we went to one of those camping sites, and we got a pop-up tent and trailer, and we went out. And I remember they had this big thing that you had to grab and go. And you had to do that for about 5 minutes before the water starts coming out. And then he had to do that until he filled up this 5-gallon jug. I didn't know why my parents didn't just bring a jug pre-filled with water before we left. I understand it now. I understand it now. They did that because it was a good excuse to get us out of their face. Amen. Go pump some water. Fill this up, you know. And so we do that. But aren't you glad we don't have to do that just to get water in this day and age? Let me ask you this. Did anybody have to run outside in their jammies to the outhouse this morning? You have to do that? Now, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I haven't got a clue about that. Again, that's only camping to me, you know. That's the only time I've ever done that. In Africa, my wife grew up in Kenya. And in Africa, not where they were, but in various places that they went to, in villages, their outhouse was a hole in the ground. That's it. Use your imagination, right? That's what they had. Folks were blessed. We're blessed. And these men and women were on an amazing journey. God had promised them some land. God had said, I'm going to help you defeat your enemies. I'm going to give you the victory. The land is yours. I have given it to you. You just have to go and take it. Let me say that their attitude changed with their predicament. Chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Now that's Numbers 11, 1. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was watching this, there are a bunch of people whining and complaining, and they were upset, and they were murmuring, and I'm watching this, and fire comes down and consumes them all. How many of you are like me? That would cure my complaining problem. Amen? I would be cured real quick. I'm done complaining. I'm good. God, you are great. I don't know what we were complaining about. Man, this is wonderful, right? Because I've seen what complaining does. But not them. Some people are hard-headed. Some people don't learn the lesson. And we look over now in Numbers 14, verses 1 and 2, where the Bible says there, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would to God that we had died in this wilderness. They're murmuring again 2 chapters after fire coming down. 2 chapters after that. I don't get that. 3 chapters. I'm sorry. My math is bad. But shortly after that. Seriously, what is wrong with these people? They just watched friends and loved ones and people they'd known all their life burn up in fire because they're complaining, and the next thing you know, they're complaining again. We have a short-term memory, don't we? We forget things real quick with this sinful nature. They may have had some difficulty, but this is insane. They saw what God could do. They saw the miracles when they followed Him. They walked across that Red Sea on dry land. They saw the plagues that went to Egypt. They saw God give them great victories. And then on the flip side, they saw the punishment and the wrath as God consumed people for complaining. And here they are, complaining and whining. They may have had some difficulty, but folks, that's insane. The Bible says that they saw themselves. They saw what God could do, but the Bible says, and look at chapter 13, verse 30. The Bible says that Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than us. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it were men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight. You know why they were grasshoppers in their sight? Because they were first grasshoppers in their own sight. They were first grasshoppers in their own sight. You know, when we lose faith in God, this unsaved world picks up on that. Amen? We don't become small to them until they see that we are small to ourselves. Our God does not become weak to them until they see that our God is weak to us. When we lose faith, that's when the world takes notice. I don't know about you, but folks, this is insane. They saw themselves as grasshoppers in the sight of giants. What were they doing looking at themselves anyway? Did they forget what God's already done for them? You know, there's two type of people in the world. There's optimists and there are pessimists. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 22 through 27, the Bible says, "And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain and came unto the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us, unto us, and brought us word again and said, It is a good land which the Lord our God doth what? Give their own words. They're saying God gave it to us. God has given us this land already. Listen to this. Notwithstanding, that's where they got in trouble. Yeah, we know God gave this to us, but, notwithstanding, we would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye did what? Ye murmured. It all comes back to ingratitude. Ye murmured in your tents and said, Because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. They should have taken their own advice in verse number 5 when they themselves said, The Lord has given us this good land. They had all the fruit. They had all the blessings and the bounties. They had samples of each one. They said, Yes, all of this is great, and the Lord has given it to us, but we're not going. No way. They should have taken their own advice. They murmured. They complained that God hated them. Psalm 106, 1, the Bible says, Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. In Psalm 106, verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, Yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. We find the optimist and the pessimist. The optimist says, Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And the pessimist despises the land. They believe not God's word. They murmur in their tent. They hearken not the voice of the Lord. That's the difference. Let me ask you this. Have you ever gone through something so bad you thought God didn't love you? Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone through something so bad you want? Maybe it's because you had done something, perhaps, and you thought, well, I'm not lovable. Oh, you don't know the love of my God. His love is greater than anything you can do. You're not powerful enough, and you can't exhaust the love of God. He loves you. And he'll always love you. And maybe you've gone through something and you thought in your mind, you've been tempted. Maybe the devil's whispered to you and told you, hey, God doesn't love you. God doesn't love you. I don't know if you've been through that. Let me say this. You better be careful not to think that way. You better be careful not to think that way. I want to notice that they were unthankful because of their predicament. Let me say, secondly, they were ungrateful because of provision. And they weren't ungrateful because of lack of provision. They were ungrateful because of provision. Look at verses 4 and 6 of Numbers chapter 11, if you will. Numbers 11. The Bible says in verse 4, And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. It's interesting, they don't remember the beatings and the scourgings and the bondage and the killing of their children. No, they remember the salad bar. That's all they remember. They remember the salad bar. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. They're not complaining about lack of provision. They're complaining about the provision. See the difference there? I think we get a lot of that in the day and age we live. You're not providing for me the way I want you to provide. You're not doing for me the way I want you to do. And so they're upset. Israel was upset with the way God provided for them. Let me ask you this. Do you ever complain about the meal that's in front of you? You ever do that? Here God made provision for the children of Israel, but they complained. By the way, the manna would have been fine. You ever eat the same thing over and over again, and after a while, man, it is just, I can't eat this anymore. I don't care if it's your favorite food. If you eat it for a week straight, you're not going to like it anymore. But it wasn't meant to be long term. It was meant to satisfy them until they went in and took the land. They weren't supposed to wander for 40 years. That was their fault. But God graciously provided for them. And they whined, and they complained, and they wanted that salad bar. And there they were, just a bunch of whiners. You know, in the days of the Great Depression, some families found every way you could possibly cook a potato. It was, we're going to cook potatoes this way today. We're going to cook potatoes this way tomorrow. We're going to cook potatoes another way. And guess what? Friday is going to be the special potato day, you know? Some people just found a different way. I think a lot of the variety of recipes we have is because people got real creative with the limited resources they had. They didn't have much. Dr. Lee Robertson, in his early years, before Highland Park Baptist Church became big, in his early years, when it was small and they were struggling and he could barely feed his family, he would often go out on visitation with his family at around 6 o'clock at night, hoping that the family would say, hey, why don't you just come in and have dinner with us? Folks, it was difficult times, and it's important that we have a mindset that thanks God for whatever he provides for us. Amen? Bobby Robertson used to put it this way. He said, where God leads me, I will follow, and what he feeds me, I will swallow. Amen? You just be thankful for what he gives you. And so they are ungrateful because of provision. And then I want to notice the third reason they were unthankful, and we find that in chapter number 16. I want you to know they were ungrateful because of people. The Bible says in verse 1, now Korah, the sons of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they arose up before Moses and certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the children of Israel are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among you. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? What he's saying is nobody's got any sin in their heart. Why are you going around like a judge, you know? You're taking too much on you. In verse number 4, and when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel have separated you from the congregation of Israel? What he's saying is, did not God give you an important enough ministry? By the way, if there's one thing I could say, be satisfied with God, where God leads you. Be satisfied with what God gives you. He says, to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation, to minister unto them. And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. He's saying, God has given you a calling on your life. And God does it. God will direct you. God will bring you to the service he wants you to be. God will show you what he wants in your life. And when he does, be satisfied with the calling God gives you. And so God gave them a calling, and they're not satisfied, and they're upset with the leadership. They're upset with people. And let me say, they complained about those in authority. They murmured against Moses because they wanted the priesthood. God opened the earth, and the Bible says he swallowed up all the people that murmured against Moses and Aaron. Let me say again, these people are insane. First, they see a fire consume the people. And now God is going to swallow up some more people because they didn't learn from that lesson. So the earth opens up and they swallow the murmurers. And after this, they just complain and say Moses killed them. These people are nuts. Look at verse 40. They've now seen fire come down and consume a bunch of people. Then they've seen the earth open up and swallow a bunch more for the same reason of complaining. Same exact reason. And this, then verse 40, the Bible says here, chapter 16, verse 40, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he may be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said unto him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel did what? Murmured. Fire, earth, were still complaining. Murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. Yeah, Moses was able, without God's help at all, to just send fire down. It was Moses. Maybe he just kind of put his hand in the ground. He's really strong. And he opened the earth himself. Okay? That's ridiculous. This is obviously the hand of God. And here they are saying, Moses, you killed all these people. Look what you did, murmuring. These people are insane. They have a death wish, amen? There's something wrong with them. One complaint always leads to another, and you can always find someone that will listen to your complaints. You can always. By the way, if people keep coming to you to complain to you about someone or something, and you're always the one they're going to, and you're saying, why are they always coming to me? It could be because you're always listening. Maybe you ought to say, well, if you're upset about so-and-so, let's go talk to so-and-so. Or maybe you can get a piece of paper and start writing things down, and they'll say, well, what are you writing down? I just want to make sure I get your wording right when I go to so-and-so. I bet you they stop complaining to you. Amen? There's a problem with the complainer, and there's a problem with the listener. Amen? And if you're always the listener, there's a reason for that. There's a reason why they feel confident in coming to you. And so don't be guilty on either end of that. And here they are complaining about those in authority. I want to say they complain about those in authority, and we often complain about those in authority. You know, in the book of John, Jesus explains about the importance of believing on him. John chapter 6, he talks about that. And we can head over there for a moment. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 35. And we'll go down to verse 37. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me, and believeth not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So he's talking about the fact he's the bread of life, that they are to believe on him. In verse 40, the Bible says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then did what? Murmured. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among you. By the way, that's another key verse there to mark down if a Jehovah Witness tends to knock on your house or a Mormon. That they were upset because Jesus said, I was not born on this earth, but I am pre-existent and came down from heaven. That's a claim of deity, amen? And so here Jesus clearly says, I was not born in Bethlehem's manger. I had existed before that. I had visited and came down from heaven to earth. That's a claim of deity. And here they're murmuring about that. They're upset about that. I've met a lot of people who complain about me giving them the gospel. They've been pretty upset. They complain because they didn't want to accept that Jesus was the authority that he claimed to be. They did not want to accept that Jesus was God of very God. Amen? That he was as much God as he was man, as much man as he was God. When he came to this earth, that Jesus was 100% deity. The one thing for non-believers to be upset, it's one thing for them to be upset at his authority. But let me say this, it's really sad when his own disciples get upset at his authority. That's when it's sad. Look at chapter 6 and verse 61. The Bible says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, there's that word again, murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? That's his disciples he's speaking to. His disciples are offended at his authority. What happened was that the disciples began to murmur. In verse 66, the Bible says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I think that's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. It's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. His own disciples walked away. What a remarkable thing it would be to see Jesus face to face. Amen? We often think about how much easier it would be to believe him if we could actually see him with our own eyes. But it wasn't obviously easier for them, was it? They saw him. They ate with him. They spent time with him. They did see him. But being ungrateful, they murmured and they turned and they walked away. You know, you can't get a better leader than Jesus himself. And yet, if Jesus himself were the pastor of some churches, they'd run him out. They'd run him out. They'd murmur and complain about Jesus. You can't get better than Jesus, and yet they wouldn't follow him. They were ungrateful for the leadership they had, and the leadership was Jesus. And over and over again, I see it. But Peter had a great answer for why he wouldn't go away with them. In verse number 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye go also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter said, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Fanny Crosby was blinded from her youth. There was a mistake that a doctor had made and caused her to be blind. Once she said that if she could talk to the doctor who made a mistake and caused her blindness, the words that she would say to that doctor are, thank you. She'd say, I would say thank you over and over again. And she said this, she said, I would say thank you over and over again, for it may have been a mistake on his part, but it was planned on God's part so that I may better be prepared to sing and write the praises of God. You know, at 8 years old, she said this. She said, oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved and in the world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. There's an 8-year-old girl that was blind. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, the word quarrel means to blame as to have an occasion to complain. Well, I don't like so-and-so. I don't like how they do this. And I don't like how this person does that. That's what the word quarrel means. To blame so as to have an occasion to complain. Someone does something to you, so you blame them so you could have something to complain about. Somebody does something different than the way you would do it, so you blame them to have something or someone to complain about. You better be careful. Paul gives instruction to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:1. He tells him to be thankful for all men. He says in 2 Timothy 2:1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, I thank God for you all. Let me ask you this. Could it be that not everybody at the church of Thessalonica was the most likable person? Could it be that some even quarreled against Paul, yet he thanked God not for some of them? Most of us would say, I am so thankful for most of you, with a few exceptions. Paul says, I'm thankful for all of you. Could you sit here today and thank God for every single person you know? Or would you have to honestly say to that there are some that you would blame as to have an occasion to complain? Where are you on that? I want to notice that they were ungrateful because of possessions. Luke 3, 12 through 14. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which I is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise commanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, that's a given. Neither accuse any falsely, that should be a given. And then he says this, And be content with your wages. And be content with your wages. It's interesting that out of all the advice he could have possibly given them, he gives them the advice to be content with their wages. You know, the modern mentality that the world has is that it's a victim. The modern union mentality today tells you that your boss or your business that you work for, they are your enemy. You know, isn't it strange that your enemy is the one who supplies the needs for your family? I'd be careful to look at your place of employment as your enemy. The liberals are trying to push an agenda that tells us that our enemy is big business. Since when are we against the hand that feeds us? How many people want the business you work for to do so bad that they would have to lay off people, lower wages, or just get destroyed so that you no longer have a job to go to? How many would like to see them destroyed just for the feeling of good they got what they deserved? Wouldn't be good for you. You know what many modern unions and liberals and I'm not trying to be political here. I'm just giving you the fact what the media is trying to tell you is to be ungrateful. It's to be ungrateful. You'd better learn to be thankful for the possessions you have. Are you happy with what God's given you? Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Philippians 4:12, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. He says, I've had hard times and good times. And everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Philippians 4:11, the Bible says, Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That includes Illinois, amen? I gave that illustration about Matthew Henry when he was robbed. Just to reiterate that, he was robbed one day. He made a decision that he would be thankful for everything that comes across, every situation. And he said this, I have to come up with things to be thankful for being robbed. And he said this, he said, I thank the thief because I was never robbed before. He said, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. He said, three, this is my favorite one. He says, because although they took my all, it wasn't much to begin with. I guess you can be thankful for not having much when you're being robbed, amen? And then number four, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Life has not brought me to the point of that robber. And so, God is good. Amen. All the time. Christ. Amen. God is good all the time. I'll end with this. Today upon a bus I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so fair and bright. I wished I was so fair. When suddenly she arose to leave, I saw the cruel braces as she hobbled down the aisle. A victim of polio was she, but as she passed, a smile. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine. And then I stopped to buy some sweets. The lad who sold them had such charm. I talked to him. He said to me, it's nice to talk to folks like you. You see, he said, I'm blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine. Then walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play, but it seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment and I said, "Why don't you join the others, dear?" He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have two ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, and eyes to see the sunset glow, and ears to hear what I would know. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I am blessed indeed. The world is mine. Father, we thank you for your goodness.